So anyone with a question, a comment, who would like to join in to the community or ask for a blessing, the floor is yours. Okay, we have an anonymous caller, and I can't even give you a phone, but you probably know who you are.
Hi, this is Denise near Mount Shasta.
And, hi, Denise.
I'm calling with gratitude today. I had asked for a blessing a couple of weeks ago when I was living on the mountain in a tent with my cat, who
mm-hmm.
was having a hard time and shredding the tent at night. And
I remember.
We have a good temporary place to be, and we're still searching for our missing brother cat, but he's been seen by three people. And we even found out that he had another family about a year ago.
And, okay.
About two years ago, excuse me. So it's just been the answer to a lot of questions and a lot of blessing for us. And that's all I wanted to say today. Thank you.
Oh, you are so welcome. And you just perfectly demonstrate that when we live on a higher plane, better things happen. And we see that Mary Percy, let's see, it's Mary Percy on the call, and you're on.
Hi, Glenda. This is Mary, and I'm from Winslow, Arizona. I just had a blessing and a prayer request for my grandson. He's
okay.
He's 15 years old. He went in this past week thinking he was going to have a hernia surgery, and it turns out he has lymphoma. So they're going to do...
Oh, no.
Hands on his
bless his heart. What's his name?
His name is Jace.
Jace.
And then they're talking they're probably going to have to start chemo this next week. And he was perfectly healthy, you know, into sports and everything. And it's just been a tragic for the whole family, a tragedy.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Well, he is most definitely in our prayers. And pray also for guidance on all levels concerning his remedies for his survival. There are often many, many other ways than the conventional methods that are just as effective and less invasive. One little bit of encouragement I want to give you is that when my sister was about 61 years old, she was diagnosed with fourth stage lymphoma and given about 2 months to live. She recently passed away at the age of 84, recovering, she occasionally would go into, move out of remission, but she had a full, complete life for many, many years after that. So everything is in the hands of God, and we most definitely take your grandson into our hearts' prayers and blessings. And thank you for opening up your family to us so that we could help and make a difference.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye for now. And we have a caller from area code 727, and you're on.
Hello, Glenda. This is Eve. I just have a prayer and blessing request for Precious Pugsley. He's a little pug. His name is Pugsley Boo-Boo. Pugsley Boo-Boo, and his picture is on our Christ Animal Blessing website. So whoever would like to participate in that blessing, it would be wonderful.
All right. Thanks, Eve.
Thank you.
Will remember Pugsley. And we have a caller from area code 641. Don't have a name, but it's wireless.
Okay, Glenda, you can hear me, I hope.
I sure can.
All right. I am living in a construction zone. They're renovating things. So the property is a mess. But
oh my.
I need some extra prayers because I fell and fractured an arm and my ribs. And I'm in my mid-70s. So it would be nice if Yeshua and the blessing givers put some attention, because I also have arthritis, so it's kind of complicated.
Yes, bless your heart. What's your name?
Betty Ann.
Betty Ann. Okay, Betty Ann, we sure will.
I appreciate it very much. And, you know, I love you. You have given me a whole new awakening and calmness and patience and peace, even in this crazy time. I thank you very much.
Oh, you are so welcome. And your betterness is a blessing back to us.
Good. Great.
And you're going to love my message today. So we're almost there. So I'm going to take a – we've got two other callers. We're going to make that quick. Suzanne, you're on.
Hi, Glenda. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. This is Suzanne in Houston. I've just got a request for a friend of mine, the best friend God ever gave me. She was diagnosed with a rare and difficult cancer about a year ago, and they keep cutting out and chemoing and radiating out, and they just found lesions in her brain. So I know she's got lots of people praying for her, but I suspect they're all praying for the cancer, and I would really rather to hold her in wholeness because I know that's where the healing lies.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We do not pray for the affliction. We do not want the affliction to gain more wholeness. We want wholeness restored in our loved ones. And we pray for, what is her name?
Janie. Mm-hmm.
Okay. We love her and we hold her in our hearts. Thank you for including her in our blessing circle today.
Thank you.
God bless you, too. And Mary, you're on. It's got to be quick, but you're on.
Hi, Glenda. Thank you. This is Mary, and I am certainly holding everyone who spoke's intentions in my heart for the blessing. And I just wanted to say I arrived a little early today. I arrived about an hour ago, but that was also such a blessing as well. That hour went by in about 5 minutes. It was an opportunity to connect and have some community, and it was the right and perfect time. So I just wanted to say thank you for the way everything always works out. It was a wonderful, quick 5 minutes, it felt like, and it was an hour of sharing with the beloveds of this community. So thank you, and that's all.
You're welcome, and thank you for being such a light, Mary. And we are going to move on into our message now. We have a lot of people showing up who primarily come for that, and so we honor that. And I want to thank everyone who did speak up, because when you offer your heart, your hopes, your faith, and your request of Yeshua, the Holy Spirit of God, or for my assistance in forwarding your request, it's all part of the big picture of why we're here and what we're hoping to do for one another. And we have spoken in detail in weeks past about some important subjects, one of the most important being how we receive. Is our cup a little empty so that we have room to receive? Is our faith fullness full enough that if something comes to us, we will recognize it? And today I want to expand upon how we receive the blessings of life from another direction, but it's all part of the same message, because insofar as we receive in faith the fullness of all the creations of God and the blessings thereof, we are made whole again. An interesting thing came to me just as I was rereading the first chapter in Love Without End today. I was getting ready for our lesson this afternoon and looking forward to sharing these words again. I read a very powerful statement, and it has to do with light. The science of holography has taught us that any anything, the light of any object or the light of any ray of light can be completely replicated in whole from any part of that light. I suppose you might say this would be divine, the divine equivalent of cloning, just as cloning would take a DNA sample and create the whole entity from that DNA sample. From any fragment of light, the whole of a thing can be completely recreated, and this is part of the science of holography. It doesn't have to actually have a three-dimensional image of the thing it's portraying. It just has to have a fraction of light from that thing from which it can create, recreate in perfect wholeness the thing. And, of course, I thought about that piece of information many, many times when I was thinking about the healing of the lamb and the lion. It was damaged, I thought, fatally damaged when a light fell and tore the canvas. This was in the first year after its creation when I was taking it around to many, many churches on Sunday, and it was in a Sunday afternoon presentation when that happened. I just kind of covered it with my hands and then got on with my presentation, put it in a case, and took it home with nonstop tears, wondering what had happened and why was this greatest work I ever was given the opportunity to create destroyed. The next day it was completely whole. After I studied and studied, I realized because the whole canvas was created of light. And all it took was one piece of it remaining, and the whole recreated itself. Now, I really believe this is why Yeshua told us to make of ourselves a whole light, to embrace the light within us, and become a light unto the world. This is why the Apostle Paul, in his references in the New Testament, in Corinthians, talks about our bodies of light that will be imperishable. Once we know ourselves as light, all it takes is one fragment of light, and the whole can be created. Unfortunately, we live in a world where there's more darkness than light, and we actually are quite dependent upon external sources of light, which is the great tragedy of the world in which we live. Even our sense of consciousness is often filled with more question marks than answers, more darkness than light. And when we gain more light, we call it enlightenment. And yet, there never seems to be enough enlightenment. We're always edging out more and more on darkness that we're engulfing with a little more and more light. All of this is so totally commendable to work in that direction. But I want to give you a few more insights on how we can progress further, faster, with more velocity, more confidence in that direction, in becoming more of all we can be, healing from every wound or limitation that would assault us or break our spirit. How we can get there better, with greater fullness, closer to God, more in the image of God. And that's all wrapped up in one little word that is central to both, actually to all three, faith, hope, and charity. And that one word is expectation. I want to talk about that word expectation because it really, really applies. In the three-dimensional world we live in, every day, and we don't have to be in an altered, higher state of faith to understand this word, expectation. We don't have to have elevated hope to understand this word, expectation. So that's why I want to talk about it today. It gets down to the brass tacks of where we live. Now, I want to give you a real practical explanation, a very famous one. In 1954, the great runner-athlete Roger Bannister was the first man to ever break the four-minute mile. He ran just a few seconds less than 4 minutes. No one had ever thought it would be possible before. Actually, let me give you an equivalent. What it means to run a mile in 4 minutes means to run at the speed of a 15-mile-an-hour automobile without pause for 4 minutes. Can you imagine doing that? Just imagine going 15 miles an hour for 4 minutes. You will have gone a mile. And that's what Roger Bannister did, only a little more. This made the news all over the planet. And it wasn't very long after that until his record was being beaten. Well, now, not by everybody, because let's face it, it does take athletic training just to be able to do that. But there were lots of trained athletes before he did it that didn't believe it could be done. And so they didn't do it. And after that, one after another, now hundreds of men have broken that boundary, if you will. And the latest was in, I've forgotten the date on that, but I believe it was this year. It was 3 minutes and 43 seconds. Now, what this involves is that we learn from one another and we allow others to become examples for us. Moses cautioned us about coveting. That's in the same neighborhood as being jealous. We should emulate and be pleased with what others prove is possible for us. In the famous year, 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue, and he most certainly was not the first to ever sail the Atlantic to arrive on the shores of America. We now have proof that ancient mariners from Denmark and the other north regions of Europe came over. The Vikings were great sailors. And probably there were other sailors that came into and around South America. We're not sure, but it seems evident that they did. And, of course, there were people here waiting for them when they came. So that's not really the importance of the story of Columbus. The importance of the story is that once he did that, he had broken the boundary between Europe and the continents of the Americas and all the other continents of the world. What he did is he launched global maritime exploration that would change the world. In other words, our expectations of what could be were totally changed. And by the way, when you offer results from the blessings that you have received, you change expectations for other people. Let me tell you another wonderful story that I think you'll love. It has to do with the celebrated, actually quite famous, recently retired mayor of Mississauga, Ontario, Hazel McCallum. She just stepped down this last year at the grand old age, I should say young age in her case, of 93. She took over the post in 1978, and she turned Mississauga from a little urban town into part of the great metropolitan region that it is now. She had more transformative urban impact than anyone else of her generation. And at the age of 87, she was still playing ice hockey. When she stepped down at the age of 93, she didn't step down into retirement. Guess what? She was immediately offered a post by the University of Ontario to be a special advisor to the principal of that university to develop a new master's degree program for urban development and innovation, which she now has moving strong. Now, does that mean that all of us will be performing like that in our 90s? Probably not, because we haven't all prepared for it. We haven't all cultivated the long runway of successes and health and optimism and support that is necessary to have that level of longevity. But you know what? It's probably going to add to the longevity and expectation to everyone to some degree, everyone who looks at her life. She crossed a really big, big boundary, and she left that for us to observe. It's a tremendous gift of accomplishment that allows us to set our sights out further with more expectation of what's possible. In Yeshua's life, I really, really believe that that was the main reason why he conducted miracles, to help people understand what was possible. That we're not simply, pardon me, I'm going to take a break for water. That we are not simply creatures of limited mortality who are born into a world of suffering and actually look forward to our death to have some peace. That we will spend the entirety of our life wondering about survival and probably not making it even as far as we hope for. He wanted to change that idea, and he did so with the demonstration of miracles. I think it also explains why he didn't just go out and heal everyone that came to him at the Sermon on the Mount. Why he didn't just pass his hand over them and heal them. It was far more important to him that he change their expectations about what they could do. It wasn't just about healing a disease, recovering from a loss, changing a limited supply of funds for living. It was about changing our expectations of what is possible. In the book of John 14, 12 through 14, he says to his apostles, "All these things I do, you shall do and more. If you should only believe in me." Now, a lot of people have interpreted that passage to be only about religion. In other words, only if you take me up as the pillar and Lord of your religion. If you actually read that passage literally, what he's saying is only if you believe that I really did these things. That's what he's saying. It's so literally expressed. If you believe that I did these things, then you can do them. It would be no different than Roger Bannister saying, if you really believe that I actually broke the 4-minute limitation and I didn't cheat, I didn't use any tricks, I simply prepared myself, I had conviction, and I applied all those things to a greater strength of my being, and I really, really did it. That's what Yeshua is saying to the apostles. If you truly believe that I have done all these things, then you too shall do them. What he's telling us is that he's raised the bar. He has lifted the glass ceiling. He has brought to us evidence of what is capable for humanity. Now, my friends, he would not have been able to do that if he had not first chosen to be born as a human being. He couldn't have arrived simply as a light being, not incarnate. Then people would say, oh, well, sure, of course you can do those things. Try being a human being and do those things. Well, he killed that objection right off the bat. He was born as a human being. He couldn't also escape suffering and be able to say those things. Because people could say, oh, well, that's fine for you to say those things. You don't have to suffer. He killed that objection when he surrendered to die on the cross. And then you couldn't say, okay, well, you don't have to die. That's well and good for you to say all these things. He really did. And it did, and guess what? It didn't kill him. He died, but it didn't kill him because he's greater than any mortal representation of construction of DNA on planet Earth. And guess what? So are you. Now, that's what we're talking about with expectation. Expectation is the here and now version of charity, because if we truly expect we are going to have results in an activity, we will charitably give ourselves into it, right? If we truly expect the best of our friends and family, we will charitably support them, right? Okay. if we truly have faith, we will be able to move that mountain because we will expect it to move, right? We will expect the sun to be somewhere in the sky tomorrow, even if there are clouds overhead, right? And hope, okay, our hope will become far moved beyond the limitations we're now banging our head on because we know now to expect more, to expect beyond the limitations the world has given us. Now, will it all work instantly? I don't know. That's really between you and God. I really can't say that I will be going strong at the age of 94 like Hazel McCallum. But I do know one thing. She helped expand the boundary for me, and I'm 70 now, and I certainly am not performing at the level my grandmother was at the age 70. She was fully retired and dependent on her family for assistance in every way at the age 70. She was not doing the work I'm doing, and I expect at the age 80, I'm going to be doing a lot better than my brother and sister were at the age 80 because my expectations have now given me the courage, the guidance, the nourishment, and the wherewithal to create a better runway in that direction. More receiving every day, more application of what I receive, more willingness to apply what I receive because I know that all I have to do is apply what I'm given today and tomorrow will be better. And then apply what I'm given tomorrow and the next day after that will be better and better and better. This was the bottom line, hardcore, down-to-earth teaching of Jesus Christ. This is what we can teach one another by sharing our achievements and allowing our achievements to become a new, higher, better, further benchmark for our fellow brothers and sisters. So with that, we will open ourselves up to today's blessing, and may you receive all that your cup can hold. And then, when after we finish, as you go rest and assimilate, take more in than you ever thought you could. Breathe deeply, not only with the breath of air, but the breath of spirit, the breath of being, and the breath of possibility and life. And allow it to define yourself further and better and further beyond everything you thought you could be. So I ask the blessing givers to join me now, and let's move into our blessing for the day. I will open with my invocation to Yeshua. When I'm complete, then everyone begin your prayer. Pray from your heart, according to all your desires, and pray into a higher expectation than you ever thought was possible. Dear Yeshua, thank you for the ultimate lesson of life that you demonstrated with your life. And thank you for being with us now in our life that we may be the light that we are, a light unto the world and to each other, a love in the world and to each other, and a worthy presence of God on earth, receiving his blessings and making more of them every day of our life. Amen. Amen. Your blessing is now complete. It's time for you to go rest and assimilate. Be with God and accept all that has been given to you. I look forward to being with you again next week, and have a wonderful week. Bye-bye for now.